sacrifice, an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. That's at least one dictionary definition of the word sacrifice. And of course, today is the Sunday where we most use that word. Today, later on, many people around this country still will take 2 minutes to consider the service that the men and women who died for our freedom gave. I think I said last year to you, and I'll say it again this year, 2 minutes hardly seems enough for those who paid such a sacrifice, many of whom have paid the greatest of sacrifices. That perhaps the way we can honour them is by reflecting on that reading that we read. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. When we say those words, we are comparing their sacrifice to the words of the Lord Jesus, which is high honour indeed. If you've ever attended an Alpha course or watched an Alpha video, you may have heard another story comparing the sacrifice of our Lord to those who suffered for us. The story goes that in 1941, on the 31st of July, a prisoner escaped from Auschwitz. As a reprisal, the Gestapo took 10 men to die in an underground starvation bunker. Francis was one of those men, and as he was selected, he cried out, "My poor wife, my children, they will never see me again." It was at that point that a Polish man, a rather unremarkable-looking Polish man with wide-framed glasses, stepped forward and said this. He said, "I am a Catholic priest. I don't have a wife. I don't have children. I want to die instead of that man." To everyone's amazement, his offer was accepted. And Maximilian Kolbe, for that was his name, was 47 years old at the time, and went to the starvation bunkers with the other men and women. By all accounts, he was a remarkable man and got the bunker singing hymns and praying and transformed the atmosphere in the starvation bunker. He was the last man to die. Eventually, he was given a lethal injection of carbolic acid on the 14th of August in 1941. Fast forward to 41 years later, and October the 10th in 1982, when Maximilian Kolbe's death was put into perspective. Picture St. Peter's Square in Rome, if you will, a crowd of 150,000 people, 26 cardinals, 300 bishops and archbishops, and one man named Francis. Pope John Paul at that place said this. He said that Maximilian Kolbe's death was a victory like that won by our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Francis himself eventually died, his obituary recorded of how he spent the rest of his life telling people how Maximilian Kolbe had died for him in his place. It seems to me that sacrifice to go without recognition is just plain inappropriate. And for the ultimate sacrifice to go without recognition is breaking some sort of universal law. But the question arises, doesn't it? What recognition is enough to pay for a human life, or indeed for our God? Jesus says in our reading what we might do as gratitude for his sacrifice. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends, he says. You are my friends, do what I command. We are to show our gratitude to Jesus by following his command. What command? Well, he says here and elsewhere, doesn't he? Love God and love people. Love our neighbour. Love God, love one another, love our neighbour. God does seem to be a bit hung up on love most of the time, doesn't he? But what of our response to the men and women who died on our battlefields? What's our response for the freedom they earned for us. Later on, we will pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, and we will ask for his kingdom to come. And of course, that Revelation reading is a reflection of what that kingdom might look like. I heard a loud voice from the throne, it says, saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." It's a picture of God's kingdom coming. But equally, it's a picture of the freedom that those men and women fought for. A picture of a world with love, peace, and unity. And when we pray for God's kingdom to come, we also pray for it to come in the here and now, as well as the future. So perhaps our sacrifice to the Lord Jesus, and also to those men and women who died for us, is actually the same. Perhaps it's simply to love God, love each other, and lay down our lives for our neighbour. In a world that we live in so full of trouble still, that may sound like a very naive and idealistic idea. However, it does seem to me that when the creator of the universe commands that we love one another, our response is simple. What is my part in that? Friends, right now our country could do with a bit of love and peace. Right now, our country could do with some of us, if not all of us, laying down our lives for one another. Right now, our country could do with this unity and love and peace that the men and women fought for. Is it possible that of those of us here today, we could spearhead a campaign of love and peace and unity within our country? If it is, perhaps that our response. Is it possible for us today to lay down the words of hate for the other side, even though we may fervently disagree with them and have the right to say so? Is perhaps that our response? Sacrifice. An act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. Is unity, peace, and love in our country more important or worthy? Friends, can our response to the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice of the men and the women who died for us be to truly lay down our lives for one another, even though we disagree at times? I pray that we will go from here and let our response from today forward be to so much sacrifice given, be that actually we would truly love God and love one another.